evening, this is Frank Singheiser, your Sinclair headliner, speaking to you on behalf of Sinclair agents and dealers. Once again, the Shanghai area has been pounded by American planes. A communique from General MacArthur announces that more than 300 bombers of the American Far Eastern Air Force blasted away at Shanghai air drones on Wednesday, Shanghai time. This was the fourth heavy raid in a week by American planes, which have been concentrating their explosives on landing fields around Shanghai. Even as General MacArthur's bombers were carrying out this assault, other American aerial units returned to their attack on Japan. The important air center of Tsuiki in northern Kyushu was in flames when our flyers turned homeward. Japanese airmen attempted to intercept our flyers, and at least seven enemy fighter planes were shot out of the sky. One American Liberator was lost in this engagement. From all appearances, this American attack resulted in serious damage for the Japanese. The size of the flames at the Japanese air center led our bombardiers to believe they had hit an oil storage area. In a moment, I want to tell you in detail about the ultimatum which Japan has received from the Allies. But first, here is Ed Pearson. Do you raise chickens? Then be sure to get a free copy of the new 1945 edition of Farm Time Savers. This free booklet has many good tips and shortcuts for poultry raisers. For example, it tells how to make a simple catching crate and easy to clean nest. Moreover, the free Time Savers booklet has scores of other time and labor-saving hints that every farmer and many victory gardeners find useful. To get your free copy of the 64-page booklet, simply write to Sinclair Refining Company. That's S-I-N-C-L-A-I-R, in care of this station. Send for your free Time Savers booklet today. And now back to Frank Singheiser. The Japanese have been called upon to make a vital decision, a decision which may well affect the future of the Japanese Empire for centuries to come. The United States, Great Britain, and China have demanded that Japan cease its hopeless resistance. Either that, or be destroyed. Japan's official attitude to this demand remains to be seen. But the Japanese have implied, unofficially, that they're open to an offer of lenient peace terms. I infer from one Tokyo broadcast that a so-called liberal America might reach an understanding with Japan. In the words of the enemy broadcast, a liberal America has never given occasion for Japanese militarists to rise. But America now talks of unconditional surrender, end of quotation. Well, of one thing the Japanese can be sure, and let them mark it well. The Allies have been speaking of unconditional surrender, and they will continue to speak of unconditional surrender. There will be no compromise. Dispatches from Potsdam say that today's proclamation by the United States, Great Britain, and China was drawn up by President Truman and former Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and that it was subsequently approved by President Chiang Kai-shek. The statement was couched in no uncertain words. It said in part, the following are our terms. We will not deviate from them. There are no alternatives. We shall not accept delay. Then followed the Allied terms, none of which must have come as a surprise to Japan. First of all was a demand for a new order in Japan to succeed those who have misled the Japanese people into embarking on world conquest. Also a demand for the Allied occupation of some Japanese territory, with Japanese sovereignty to be limited to the home islands of Honshu, Hokkaido, Kyushu, Shikoku, and such minor islands as might be determined by the Allies. The Allied proclamation guaranteed the Japanese military forces would be permitted to return to their homes after being disarmed. But the statement added, stern justice shall be meted out to all war criminals, including those who have visited cruelties upon our prisoners. Under terms of unconditional surrender, the Japanese government would be required to remove all obstacles to the revival of democratic tendencies among the Japanese people. Freedom of speech and religion, for example, as well as freedom of thought. Japan would be permitted to maintain certain industries to sustain her economy and permit the payment of reparations, but not those industries which would allow her to rearm for war. Then the Allied proclamation ended with a ringing demand to the Japanese people, a demand that is echoing and re-echoing throughout the vast reaches of the Pacific and Asia, wherever men are at war. Said the Allied statement, we call upon the government of Japan to proclaim now the unconditional surrender of all Japanese armed forces, and to provide proper and adequate assurances of their good faith in such action. The alternative for Japan is prompt and utter destruction. Note that term, prompt and utter destruction. It's more than a phrase, as the Japanese know full well. More than 350 American superfortresses struck at three Japanese cities today, Friday, Japanese time. Three industrial centers, Omuta, Matsuyama, and Tokuyama, all in southwestern Japan, were hit by 2,200 tons of incendiary bombs.
and Japan seemingly is in no position to offer formidable opposition. It's unlikely that the Japanese fleet, or what's left of it, could do very much to halt an invasion in the near future. Tuesday's series of widespread raids by American and British carrier planes, more than 1,200 of them, damaged 20 Japanese warships. This added to the damage inflicted on four other Japanese warships on July 18th, made a total of 24 caps in British political circles. Britain's socialistically inclined Labour Party has administered a stunning defeat to Mr. Churchill's regime. King George has commissioned Labour leader Clement Attlee to form a new government. The King has received Mr. Churchill's resignation as Prime Minister. The Labourites were swept into office by a margin of more than 2-1 to achieve a clear-cut majority in the House of Commons. Actually, Mr. Churchill himself escaped a personal defeat by being elected to a seat in the House of Commons from his constituency in Woodford. What's more, the former Prime Minister will continue to wield a great amount of power since he will be leading the opposition when Parliament convenes again on August 8th. Mr. Attlee got off to a rousing start tonight by telling a cheering crowd that the first thing that has to be done is to finish the war with Japan. He spoke, too, of the necessity for cooperation with other nations, and he made particular reference in this connection to the United States and Russia. It's assumed that Mr. Attlee will return to Potsdam to resume deliberations with President Truman and Premier Stalin, and it's also thought that he will be accompanied by Mr. Ernest Bevin, who is expected to succeed Anthony Eden as British Foreign Secretary. Whether Mr. Churchill will return to Potsdam is uncertain at this time. There's some belief that he will decline to take any further part in the Big Three Conference. This is not to say that the retiring Prime Minister is taking his party's defeat in a bad way. Far from it. He summoned a smile for a crowd which greeted him outside the gates of Buckingham Palace tonight, and he gave the spectators that cheery V for Victory salute. Mr. Churchill has certainly earned his retirement the hard way, and his country, as well as the entire allied world, will never forget his indomitable courage, his determination, his unquenchable fire. And his words before the House of Commons back in the dark days of May 1940 will ring on for all time. You ask, he said then, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. Well, here at home, the Office of Price Administration furnishes a headline by announcing a definite improvement in meat supplies and distribution in this country. As a result, the red point values for almost all cuts of beef, lamb, and veal will be reduced beginning next Sunday. The ration values of most steaks will be cut 2 points a pound. Generally speaking, ration values on beef, lamb, and veal will be lowered 1 to 2 points a pound. However, there will be no change in the present point values for pork, canned fish, fats, and oils. Neither will there be any immediate change in the ration value of dairy products. According to the OPA, there will be about 9.5% more meat available for retail sale in August than there has been this month. Price Administrator Chester Bowles attributes the improvement in civilian meat supplies to the fact that military requirements have been lowered somewhat. Elsewhere in Washington, government circles now are studying the possibility of relaxing federal controls over wages, relaxing them in a way to permit wage increases in some instances without the danger of increasing prices. I'm advised that public members of the War Labor Board already have drawn up such a plan, which they have submitted to economic stabilizer William Davis. The whole thing will be made public in detail next week, and labor and industrial members of the War Labor Board will be given a chance to air their views on the wage proposal by August 15th. Naturally enough, the nation's labor leaders are keeping a sharp eye cocked on the government policies concerning wages. I might add that they're more than just slightly interested in the results of the British election, possibly on the theory that the upset in Great Britain may result in eventual changes on the American labor scene. From the President of Britain, the insistent desire of British workers to gain higher living standards and a greater degree of economic and social security. And Mr. Green adds, the same aspirations for a better life after the grim experiences of war are moving workers in our own country. The AFL leaders' views are not shared in some Washington quarters, however. For instance, Democratic Representative Rankin of Mississippi says that he regards the defeat of Mr. Churchill's government as an indication of what he calls, quote, a communist trend that should be a warning to the American people, end of quotation. The pros and cons of the British election will, of course, be debated for some time to come. Perhaps the most philosophical statement of the day was made by a British barmaid, who I think made a great deal of sense when she remarked casually, all this argument is doing no good to anybody. It makes no difference who won. We'll get along like we always have. That, to me, is typically British. I'll be back in a moment after looking over the Associated Press wires for more late news.
Speaking of your car, would you believe that a thin film of gear lubricant could withstand a shock pressure of 150 tons? Well, there is such a lubricant. It's Sinclair Gear Lubricant BX. This new Sinclair Gear Lubricant has been developed to protect the gear teeth in your car where pressure runs as high as 50 tons per square inch. So to avoid damage to your gears this summer, ask your Sinclair dealer for tough Sinclair Gear Lubricant BX. Look to Sinclair for better products, better service. Here is Frank Singeiser with the latest Associated Press news.
Manila, Friday. Australian troops are advancing steadily in eastern Borneo. They're pushing northward along the inland road from the oil port of Balikpapan. And the latest word from the front says they have encountered only small groups of Japanese. Guam, Friday. Bad weather seems to have halted Allied carrier plane attacks against the Japanese homeland. A communique from Admiral Nimitz reveals small land-based aerial raids against enemy objectives in the far Pacific. Up to now, there's been no indication that the huge Allied fleet has been withdrawn from Japanese home waters. San Francisco. The Tokyo radio has nothing to say at this time about the possibility of a Japanese surrender to the Allies. Earlier, it had hinted that the Japanese government might be interested in talking terms with what it called a more lenient America. Washington, the nation's lawmakers are hailing the Allied ultimatum to Japan. Some senators expressed the opinion that it's likely to shorten the war in the Pacific. Paris, the Labor Party victory in the British election is greeted with enthusiasm in leftist French political circles. There's a feeling in the French capital that the election of the new British government will improve relations between France and Great Britain. Madrid, the defeat of the Conservative Party in the British elections has caught Spain by surprise. It said that Generalissimo Franco apparently expected former Prime Minister Churchill's party to emerge victorious once again. Manila, the Shanghai area has been pounded by American planes again. A communique from General MacArthur announces that more than 300 bombers of the American Far Eastern Air Force blasted away at Shanghai airdromes Wednesday, Shanghai time. And that's tonight's report from your Sinclair headliner. I'll be back Saturday at the same time. Good night.
Sinclair dealers and agents invite you to tune in your Sinclair headliner, Frank Singeiser, each Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at the same time. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.